We come tonight to the 16th chapter of Mark's Gospel again. I want to read the first 8 verses. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, we are very close to the end of our journey through Mark. Hopefully we'll finish it up next Sunday evening. But when you come to this passage and you hear the three words, "He is risen," these three words form the greatest watershed of human history. They express the greatest truth the world has ever heard. Before these words were spoken, the attitude of the disciples was that everything had finished in tragedy. They had hoped that Jesus was the one who would deliver Israel, but that hope died at Calvary. The women made their way to the tomb, came in love to pay the last tribute to the dead body of one they loved dearly. No one on that first Easter day, not even one person, expected to hear the astounding news, "He is risen." No one, not one single person expected to hear the astounding news, "He's risen." You can be sure that if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we'd never heard of him. But how do you know the words speak the truth? William Barclay said, "By far the best proof of the resurrection is the existence of the Christian church. Nothing else could have changed sad, despairing men and women into people radiant with joy and gleaming and flaming with courage." Howard Luckett before that said, "The resurrection has proved credible to uncounted millions of people who have been told the good news, he is risen. That belief does not rest primarily on the record of the gospel narratives, for more convincing has been the historic fact of the Christian church, with its unceasing testimony to the indwelling Lord." Does this church have an unceasing testimony to our indwelling Lord? Well, we can be sure that the resurrection is a central fact of the Christian faith. No resurrection, no Christian faith. It's that simple. But because we believe in the resurrection, certain things follow that make all the difference in the world. William Barclay lifts 4 things I'd like for us to consider tonight. Because we believe in the resurrection, Jesus is not just a historical figure in a book. Jesus is a living presence. We may study the life of Jesus as we study the life of any other historical figure. And I've always liked to read biographies and study people's lives. You can study the lives of anyone that's lived, that's got anything written about them. But while we may begin only studying the life of Jesus, that's never enough. For because of the resurrection, we must come not just to study Jesus, but to meet Jesus, to meet him. He is a living presence with us. One who never leaves us, who never forsakes us. Nor is Jesus just a memory. He is a presence, present with us. The deepest, the dearest memories fade. We think we'll always remember how a person looked, how they talked, and other things about them. But time fades the memory. I've heard people cry, and I'm having trouble even remembering what he looked like. Memory fades with time. This was brought home to me so vividly several years ago. My sister in California was still living at that time, and she was visiting, and she'd gotten a tape that I'd made some 25 years before, a tape of my own family, and I'd sent it to another sister. And on that tape, both my mother and my father told of some things that were happening at that time. I had not heard their voices in over 20 years, not my dad's voice anyway. And when I first heard their voices, I had to struggle for a little to recognize who they were. If Mother, Dad, either one had called at the time I made that tape, I would instantly recognize their voices, known who they were. But after all those years, I had to think and to struggle and to realize it was really the voices of my dad and my mother. Well, the Greeks had a word by which they described time, which means time which wipes all things out. And it seems to be true. People are born and live and die. Houses and factories are built and in time decay and are no more. The hymn writer wrote, "Change and decay and all around I see." And yet, because of the resurrection, time has not wiped out the memory of Jesus, because he's not just a memory. He is a living presence forever with us. Jesus is not someone we discuss who used to live with us. He is someone we meet in the here and now. The risen, living Lord. And that means that the Christian life does not involve knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. There's all the difference in the world between knowing about someone and knowing them personally. Now, I think most of you here tonight are old enough to remember the name of a man called Bear Bryant. Some of you could say that you perhaps saw him or even met him at one time or another. But I doubt if any of you really knew him personally as a friend. What a difference in knowing about someone and knowing them. The woman who met Jesus at Jacob's well in John's gospel ran into the village saying, "Come see a man that told me all I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And people followed her out to see Jesus. And later they told the woman, "Now we believe. Now we believe. Not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." She told him a little bit she knew about Jesus. But after Jesus stayed with them for 2 days, they came to know him. And what a difference in knowing someone and only knowing about them. The greatest scholar in the world, who studied all the scriptures and knows all about Jesus, but does not know Jesus, is less than the humblest Christian who knows him every day. I'm reminded of an old fellow that lived on our place after Daddy bought the house that he lived in. Common, uneducated, hard-working country gentleman. And he was talking to me one day, and I couldn't have been more than 16, 18 years old, and I still remember it. He said, "I'd rather be in heaven learning my ABCs than to be in hell with a PhD. a whole lot of difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Him. No wonder Paul cried out in Philippians, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, yes, knowing about Him, but also that I may gain Him, that I may be found in Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So Jesus is not a figure in a book, but we must come to meet Him. Jesus is not just a memory. He is a presence. The Christian life is not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Jesus. Finally, because of the resurrection, there's an endless quality about the Christian faith. The Christian faith should never stand still. We as Christians should never stand still. We as Christians should ever be growing and discovering new wonders and new truths. We are, in the words of Paul, to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Or in the words of the hymn writer, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. We almost always greet people with, how are you doing? And we hear all kinds of answers. I hate to not be feeling well and somebody asks me how I'm doing. And usually I'll say, well, doing all right, you know. Sometimes doing very well, sometimes doing fine. There's one person here you might know that's always doing so good, if he's doing any better, he couldn't stand it. And that's all right. But I like an old man that I heard about years ago, a professor in the seminary. And people would greet him and ask him how he was doing. He'd always reply, improving, improving. Biggest room in my life's a room for improvement. Well, we Christians ought to be improving, ought to be growing, learning new truths, new ideas, new hope, new life in Christ. The Christian life is an endless quality to it. We're always growing, always growing. Well, He's risen. So go tell the good news. God forbid that we be like Mark reported to the women who said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Come day by day to experience the good news afresh and alive in your life. He is risen. So meet Jesus, experience His presence, get to know Him, and never cease to grow in Him. Well, Lord Jesus, we do thank You that we serve a risen Savior, that You are with us and You'll never leave us and never forsake us. Help us so live with a radiance and a vibrancy and a wonder in our lives that people will take knowledge of the fact we've been with Jesus. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.